Blog Talk Radio.
This is the 21st century, and we need to redefine revolution. This planet needs a people's revolution, a humanist revolution. Revolution is not about bloodshed or about going to the mountains and fighting. We'll fight if we are forced to. But the fundamental goal of revolution must be peace. We need a revolution of the mind. We need a revolution of the heart. We need a revolution of the spirit. The power of people is stronger than any weapon. Weapons of mass love. It's not enough just to change the system. We need to change ourselves. We have got to make this world user-friendly. User-friendly. Are you ready to sacrifice to end world hunger? To sacrifice to end colonialism? To end neocolonialism? To end racism? To end sexism? Revolution means the end of exploitation. Revolution means respecting people from other cultures. Revolution is creative. Revolution means treating your mate as a friend and an equal. Revolution is sexy. Revolution means respecting and learning from your children. Revolution is beautiful. Revolution means
ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Shabaka's Black Experienced Enhanced. Our air date of this episode is January 15th, 2019. Earlier this evening at our usual time at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time, we had a show scheduled. And due to technical difficulties, we couldn't make it work, and it's due to the algorithms of what's going on, I guess, with Blog Talk and whatnot, and its stuff of what the current political climate is going on. But, however, we'll be doing a show on that later. We're going to redesign it. Okay, but tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we are doing part two of Homecoming 2019 Journey to Ghana with our guest host, Gail Gentry, and she is the principal of Exotic Travel Architects, and we appreciate her coming on Shabaka's Black Experienced Enhanced to share her knowledge and also, too, to offer her packages of what she's got going to visit the motherland. Okay, Gail, go ahead.
Well, thank you, Shabaka, for having me once again on Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. It's always a pleasure to, share with you and your listeners, you know, that are looking to, as the intro said, you know, to change themselves. So, it's great to talk about, you know, what those outside of our community need to do, but what do we need to do for ourselves? And that's why I created this trip to Ghana called Journey to Ghana Homecoming 2019, and the significance of 2019 is this marks the 400th year that the first slave ship left the shores of West Africa with enslaved Africans coming to the United States as well as to the Caribbean and South America. So the purpose of this journey is, you know, what we know is so right now is, you know, our people are disjointed, our people are, you know, teen pregnancy, black-on-black crime, you know, men going to prison, you know, left and right. And what's the foreseeable future if something isn't done differently is to continue to be disempowered, continue this spiral downward, you know, and what the opportunity that could be created through this trip going forward is the opportunity to, you know, go back to the homeland, go back to the motherland, reconnect with ancestral roots, reconnect with who we are, know who we are, come back to the United States, you know, enriched, empowered, and ready to really make a true impact in your individual communities and, you know, help the girl that's, you know, dealing with teen pregnancy, help the guy to not, you know, feel like he needs to be involved in gangs, to feel like he's loved and that sort of thing, and really have a true sense of self and confidence that could truly change our community, like your intro said, you know, change who we are through this process. So that's what the journey to Ghana is all about. It's more than just a trip, a vacation. It's about renewal, restoration, and reconnection. That's what the trip is about.
Absolutely, and that there's the concept of Sankofa. Yes, ma'am. Okay, that there's the concept of Sankofa, going back to tradition as the first step forward. In our intro tonight, that was the one and only Asada Shakur doing Revolution is Love. Also, too, I want to greet our featured commentators, the one and only Ms. DeMacy Love. Also, too, Brother Isaiah out there, and I'm your executive producer and host, Shabaka Sankara. Mad Dr. D is our producer. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we are coming to you from Olympia, Washington. Okay, and we're going to bring in our featured commentator, DeMacy. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so what do you think of our guest host's comments right there and topic and what have you, reconnecting, you know, with our ancestral past and also to have taken the journey to Ghana and homecoming 2019?
I think it's the perfect opportunity. It's something that we really need at this point.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think we could certainly change the way we are in this country if we did that. And then
absolutely.
Us.
Oh yes, ma'am.
And I can see a totally different change if we follow your directions.
Okay.
Do you understand
also,
where I'm coming
from?
On the suggestions.
Yes, ma'am.
Of going back to Ghana.
Absolutely.
Just traveling there.
Okay.
We can bring a certain kind of hope to the forefront.
Yeah, without a doubt. Also, too, I'm going to say greetings, you know, to Baltimore, Maryland, you know, to Brother Isaiah, you know, one of our featured commentators who's been a great supporter to our show. How are you doing this evening, Brother Isaiah from Baltimore?
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm pretty good. What's up? And let's get on to tonight's show. I got so worried for a minute. I thought the show was not going to come on today.
Okay, well, see, that's what happened with our previous show that we had at our usual time, and what we were talking about on that show right there, we're going to try to reproduce it of the current political climate that's going on with it. Okay, but however, Brother Isaiah, we're going to turn it back to our guest host, Gail, okay, and I'm going to bring you back on real shortly because you always got something positive to say and positive input. Okay, I'll bring you back real shortly. Okay, also, too, I see we got a caller there out of the 562 area code, which is Southern California, with the last 48759. Where are you calling from, and what's on your mind, and welcome to our show this evening. Okay. All righty. Okay. Well, anyway, back to you, Gail. Okay. We were trying to greet in, you know, the 562 last 48759. And then, too, ladies and gentlemen, please give us a call with your input. If you're listening to us on the net, if you're listening to us on iTunes or any other of the social media, please call in at 646-564-9630 with your comments, questions, and concerns on tonight's subject. Okay, so we're going to turn it right back there to our guest host and let her elaborate more. Okay, now just what is Exotic Travels Architects and what is it that you guys do?
Exotic Travel Architects is actually a travel agency that specializes in exotic destinations. Translation is non-white destinations.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay. Say, I like that.
When you say exotic, it's, you know, it's like, you know, Southeast Asia, you know, the wilds of South America, which I don't really do South America, but Southeast
mm-hmm.
Asia, you know, of course, you know, the motherland, you know, to Africa, South Africa, now Ghana, and those types of destinations, sort of off the beaten path, not your traditional, you know, Mediterranean, European, you know, Caribbean, Mexican
mm-hmm.
vacation. So
right.
It's
yeah,
me customized, customized trips. Like this trip here is totally customized for this particular journey, and it's actually the inaugural trip, you know, depending upon how well this trip goes. You know, this would be like the catalyst and this be an annual thing done, because I don't know if you guys are aware, maybe your audience, you know, is aware that the Pan Africanist organization, you know, because W.E.B. Du Bois died there in Ghana. He's a Pan Africanist, one of like the original Pan Africanists. They have an annual celebration in August, and they
uh-huh.
combined
mm-hmm.
this year's celebration with the commemoration of the 400 year anniversary, for lack of a better word, of the first slave ships leaving the west coast of Africa. So why are we going to Ghana? The reason to go to Ghana is because if your ancestor came here on a slave ship, which most of us
right.
did if we were black,
uh-huh.
Then your ancestor either came from Ghana or was shipped from Ghana. It was a major slave
stolen.
Yes,
right.
Well,
right, because of the slave castles that they had there.
Sent over here.
Right.
And I say ships, and I
yeah.
say that in the most horrific terms, like, you know, a product. You ship a product,
yeah.
okay? So,
yeah.
you know, they were shipped here, literally.
Yeah.
And whether you came from, you know, the Congo or you came from, you know, eastern part of Africa, you did what they call
uh-huh.
a forced march. In chains,
uh-huh.
of course, and these are rudimentary
oh, God,
chains,
yeah.
you know, all across the, you know, across the continent, and then,
mm-hmm.
you know, put on a ship, put in a slave hold there at the castle there, Cape Coast Castle, and then
mm-hmm.
led onto a slave ship, and then, you know,
mm-hmm.
sent over here to the Americas. Now, and I said this
mm-hmm.
at the last show during my research, I discovered that about 12 million people, you know, were shipped, you know, 12 million Africans were shipped here as
wow.
slaves to the, you know, Northern Hemisphere. So only 350,000 made it here to the United States. The other millions went to the Caribbean and went to Brazil. So when you go to the Caribbean, like Haiti, Jamaica, you know, San
uh-huh.
Lucia, you know, you go to all these Jamaican or Caribbean towns and islands, you think, oh, these are all black. No, they're not black. They were brought there, and the indigenous people
uh-huh.
were basically killed off through disease, and they were worked and couldn't take the work and, you know, died off.
Uh-huh.
And so the blacks were left after the, you know, Europeans left.
Oh.
Right, and that's what Dr. Marimbi, our niece, stresses in her book, The Urugu, in which she talks about the Ma'afa, which is a disaster that is so bad that it is beyond description. And the African Holocaust was definitely that. In addition to the research that we have done, you know, for our shows over the course of my lifetime, as we all know that your main slave traders that you had were the British, the Dutch, the Portuguese, the French, a little bit of the Germans, you know, as well, too. It was the big five of them. You know, like I said, once again, the French, the British, the Dutch, the Spaniards, and the Portuguese. Okay, and what proves this is also, too, is like the majority of the slaves that went to Brazil, you know, from the Angolan region is where Her Majesty Queen Nzinga had fought them all her adult life with her people who were kidnapping her people and taking them, you know, to Brazil. And the majority of the slaves in Brazil did come from Angola, and Brazil did not outlaw slavery until 1894. And then, of course, the majority of the slaves that were brought into Haiti, the other, what's that, Saint Martinique, what have you, New Orleans, Louisiana, see, those were your French. You see, and the Dutch and the French, you know, they were the most brutal of the savage slave traders. And then, of course, we know that the British, you know, they had mainly had brought in their slaves into the United States of America. And this is why I appreciate, you know, our guest host tonight, resurrecting the mental dead of getting in touch with your ancestral past, as opposed to sitting up here going with this cognitive dissonance of these brain dead, ass scratching Negroes who are constantly selling us down the toilet. And then, as she had mentioned, W.B. Du Bois and the Pan-African movement, you also, too, got to mention Marcus Garvey, who started the United Negro Improvement Association, where he had over 8 million followers. And he had emphasized banking, building, traveling back to the motherland, enhancing the commerce on that. And this man only had an eighth grade education. And it's very, very interesting when I hear these, how should I say, those that are Caucasian persuasion say, well, you need to go back to Africa. Well, very interesting is that when a man tried to do just that, you guys put him in jail for 5 years and deported him to Jamaica. He was talking about just that. You see, and this is why we appreciate our co-host's resurrection, you know, of the mental dead. And we're going to bring in Brother Isaiah right here, you know, one of our future commentators, to see what his thoughts is on that. How you feel about all that there, Brother Isaiah?
You know what? I would love your input on tonight's show. Like that we really do need to go back to our to the motherland, to unwind, and just connected to our disconnect to our and ancestors, because it's really nothing like to go back to where you go back where you come from, because all this stuff's going on right here in the States. And we really need that for the time being, because all this shit is going on right here, right now. Like, it is going down flat. If we do go visit our birthplace, and we feel refreshed, never want to leave there. We just want to live there, and we're going to stay there. Sure, I don't want to come back to the States, because this state is a hellhole. I mean, it's a shithole for real.
High crime. Thank you.
Let me just say, speak to our commentator real quickly. You know, the reality is that, you know, everybody built America. Okay.
Right.
Slaves were imported specifically for their architectural abilities. All right.
That's
right. Ports came from Gambian slaves. British. When you go to London, you mm-hmm. the door is right here, and you open the door, and you right on the street. Black, African American, mm-hmm. you know, whatever you want to call it. Personally, I don't like that term African American because that is, you know, Africa is a continent, it's not a country. That's another aside.
Right.
But so I'm not going anywhere because my ancestors
no,
helped build
right.
America too.
That's right.
Okay. Straight up.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would love to go. You know, this trip was great. Yes, you know, go there, you know, reconnect with folks there, you know, and because of,
uh-huh.
of you know, social media like Facebook and stuff like that, I got a lot of friends, you know, from Ghana, a lot of friends from Zambia,
yep.
Gambia and places like that I've developed
mm-hmm.
relationships, men and women, you know, via the social media. But I say that strongly because it's always this idea, and this is one of the reasons why we need to take this trip, right? It's because it's
mm-hmm.
always this idea that subconsciously or consciously that we've been done a favor because we've been brought here. No, we helped build this country too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right.
Straight
that's
up, everybody,
right.
Mexicans, Chinese, black, white, everybody helped build this country. It wasn't built in a vacuum where all of these, you know, you see his historical commentary, you know, and you talk about the fathers of the Industrial Revolution. The real McCoy was a black guy.
That's right.
Yeah, we're familiar with him. Absolutely. Yeah, we've done many of shows. Yeah, and we've done many of shows on the black innovators, such as the real McCoy. Also, too, it was a black man who performed the first open heart surgery in Chicago, Illinois, by the name of Dr. Nathan Hale Williams. And then, not to mention the fact of what happened with Dr. Charles Drew, who developed the concept of blood plasma transfusions that had saved the life of a lot of soldiers during World War II. But the irony of it is that in 1950, he was in a very bad auto accident, and the man bled to death is because the white hospital refused to admit him to give him treatment in North Carolina in 1950. So, therefore, it's very interesting of how you brought that up. But do let me emphasize there, too, to our guest host, is that we're looking at the reparations that we are due. You see what I mean? For what we did, because without the transatlantic slave trade, you know, that the United States wouldn't be an economical power that it is today. The same thing with the European Union and whatnot. You know, they go there, they took our human resources, they went there, they take our minerals, they still take our minerals today with this silicon that they're getting up out of the Congo, you see what I mean, that the Chinese are doing, and then they take it there to Shanghai, they take it there to Hong Kong, the raw material, they develop it, then they ship it in cargo containers across the Pacific. They go straight in there to Frisco Bay, down there to Silicon Valley, which is a multi-trillion-dollar industry. And, yeah, you're damn right the United States owes us some reparations, you know, for building it. And like I said, and I would debate with any of these chicken-pecking, ass-scratching Uncle Toms, you know, who are against that is because they always want us to sympathize with everybody else's culture. They always want us to idolize everybody
yeah.
else's
culture. But when it comes to the African
yeah.
culture, they teach us in these public indoctrination centers to spit on our culture and to hate ourselves. And this is why the hashtag of resurrection of the mental dead was created. See, because the days of ass scratching and Yasser Boston are over. Just like Malcolm X said, that you people in the civil rights movement call me a demagogue and a hater, but yet you Uncle Toms are sitting at a lunch counter begging a white man for a cup of
yep.
coffee. So
here
this is why we appreciate, and this is why we appreciate the black entrepreneur. This is why we have our guest host tonight, you know, who's the principal of Exotic Travel Architects, and more power to and what she's doing. Everybody support her. I'm even going to try to make the trip, you know, if I'm able to and whatnot. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. Our air date tonight is January 15, 2019, which happens to be Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. So we're going to acknowledge that as well, too. And then, ladies and gentlemen, definitely check out our Facebook like page, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, and please put your comments there. And please review our material that we have on there, because a lot of times we do put up our past podcasts, and you could just simply click the link and listen to the replay. But however, though, Gory Island, which was one of the slave castles, you know, was known for that, where they had the doors of no return. And once you went through there, you know, you were gone. And also, too, all those who are talking about the children being taken away, with the parents being deported back across the border with the dump and his garbage. Well, let's look at the black babies that was taken from their mamas.
That's true.
Yeah, and let's
look at
then let's look at the black babies and children that were taken away from their families via the auction block, never to be seen again. And,
but you know, they don't
speak on
that part. They don't speak on that part.
Oh, no. Well, see, that's just it, though. See, this is the hypocrisy, you know, that so many in the Black Liberation Movement and the Pan-African Movement were talking about, just like Julius Malema over there in South Africa with the Economical Freedom Fighters. He's saying is that they're not going to give back up the land, you know, to the white South Africans, is because it's ours in the beginning. And his analogy was, and his analogy was, it's like if you steal my car and I go back and steal it, I did not commit a theft. I simply recovered my property. And the same thing that you would have to do on a spiritual plane, a physical plane, and a mental plane, you see. So like I said, you know, I feel sorry for the Yasa bosses and ass scratchers. I really do. It's because when a person hates themselves, just like what you saw in the film, The Imitation of Life, surely their soul is in turmoil. It has to be. Yeah. It has to be.
Then
what they need to do, and they just need to call on the power of the ancestors and make the reconnection, you know, as what Marcus Garvey was saying. Then, of course, the situation that happened there with SYNQ, as we all know, with the Amistad situation there in 1839 as well, too. Because you see, black man and woman, the thing is that you have to understand, black militancy did not start in the 1960s. It did not start in the 1950s. Black militancy started when the first slave got upset about his situation and went on and did something about it. This is the knowledge they don't want us to have of self. This is why that in certain public indoctrination school systems throughout the U.S. is where they're taking certain elements out of the Black Liberation Movement from the curriculum. So it's very, very important, you know, that we have this reconnection. You see what I mean? Very, very much so. And then also, too, ladies and gentlemen, you know, please give us a call here at 646-564-9630 to speak live on the air. And press 1, and we'll get you in a queue where you can speak live on the air. Okay, so we're going to turn it back over to our guest host.
Okay, so, I hear everybody wanting to comment and all, and we really want to hear from you guys and hear what you have to say, and I'll just briefly say this. One, you know, we could talk about, you know, the ass scratchers and the yes or bosses and all that. You know, it's a whole indoctrination. So one of the main points of this trip is to be come out of the indoctrination, is to renew, like the Bible says, you know, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, so renew your mind by taking this trip. That's number one. Number two, the reconnection is to let me just say this. I think personally, my own personal opinion is we spend too much time, and I say we, talking about black people, spend way too much time concerning ourselves with white people. Who cares?
Right.
You know,
that's
what are
right.
we going to do for ourselves in our own community? Who cares
exactly.
what they think or don't think, do, don't do, allow, don't allow? That's beside the point. So that's another thing about taking this trip. Because through, you know, going through your own naming ceremony, through, you know, going through the other way of the door of no return, you know, through, you know, seeing all of this stuff firsthand, you know, 400 years later, you know, just really solidifies, hey, you know what, I am somebody. Hey, I do come from a strong people. Hey, you know, I do make a difference. Hey, I can impact my community. Hey, I can do something different. So I would just love to hear from some of the folks on this line, you know, what do you see as the possibility of what could happen within your respective community or the larger, you know, city, state, country as a result of this this type of trip. So let's hear from our the folks on the line. How do you guys see this play it out?
No, okay, what do you got to say about that, sister? Go ahead.
Okay, what I see is that we're stuck. We can only go but so far because at the top of the chain is them. So we have to go through them for everything. That's what I see. That's where my focus is right now. How in the world do we get around all that? If we open a business, we're going through them. Their approvals, their stamps, all over our paperwork. We have to answer to them. We have to be in line with their standards. That's my issue. Deep down inside.
Let me ask you this. What if say, 40 people went on this trip, this inaugural trip, they came back renewed, refreshed, and said, I'm sorry, what's the caller's name again?
Oh, that's our future caller. Yeah, DeMacy.
DeMacy, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. So what if, 40 people came on this trip and DeMacy say, you're trying to start a beauty salon. I'm just throwing something out there. I don't know what you're trying to do.
Uh-huh.
You're trying to start a beauty salon. And as a result of these people coming back and feeling, this new sense of power that most of us don't feel. You know what? I got $100 that could go towards your starting up your beauty salon.
Yeah.
And then, another person, hey, you know what? I got $500 to Macy that can help you. I'm just going to give you an example. There's a organization. They have and I can't remember the name of the organization. I can never forget. But they have a concert every year in Central Park. It's called the Global Citizen Festival.
Uh-huh.
And their mission is to end world poverty. That's their mission.
Okay.
This organization.
Uh-huh.
And most of these guys that are involved in it, had been involved in the UN, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So they started this Global Citizen Festival, and in order for you to get to the festival, you have to do something impactful in your community to win a ticket. You can't buy a ticket. You win a ticket like that.
Okay.
During the Global
Citizen
Festival.
Can I interrupt 1 second?
No. Let me just finish this point. So during the Global Citizen Festival, as a result of them with this idea to have this festival, big name people started approaching them and saying, hey, I want to be involved. Hey, I want to be involved. So I'm saying to you, DeMacy, with a trip like this, what if LL Cool J, endorsed this? What if Snoop Dogg endorsed this?
Come on now.
As an example. And then it's like, hey, DeMacy's trying to start a beauty salon. And then, the guy that runs Carnival Cruise Lines, the CEO is a black guy. And he says, hey, I need to help DeMacy. Here's $50,000, DeMacy. So there's a way to get around that.
Right, that's called cooperative economics.
A way to get around. Let me finish, please. There's a way to get around that idea that, quote-unquote,
that
they
I just
have
said.
To be involved.
I got you. But the point I was trying to make was that it's like they're owning the country. That's what I was just saying. You know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? They're owning everything. See,
I'm saying that's a perception.
I know that's real talk. Trust me.
Well,
everything we need
this.
To do, we have to go through the white man's office. That's my point.
Well, not necessarily.
You sure? Talk to me.
Not necessarily. I mean, because there's enough of us, and you don't hear about this. Let's just use Sean P. Diddy Combs as an example. The boy is a serious philanthropist in New York City. People don't know about that.
Right.
He has an organization called Daddy's House. Your boy is giving away millions of dollars.
Ooh.
Why can't he give it to you?
Let me just interrupt here.
Okay, let me just interrupt here. Okay, we got a caller here out of the 818 area code with the last 41329. I have a feeling I think I know who this is. How's our caller there out of the 818 with the last 41329? Are you there, sir?
Yes, sir. You know who it is. It's the relentless one.
Yes, sir. Thank you, champ, for calling in. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome the former WBO heavyweight champion of the world, Layman Brewster. And thank you so very, very much for giving us a call in, for calling in, champ. Okay, and our guest host there, you know, has given an excellent lecture on this here, reconnecting with the ancestors.
Yes.
And I know a lot of the materials that I've read, you know, on your wall there, champ, and I just want to, you know, get some input from you, you know, and speak with our guest host here a little bit on that. Okay, so to our guest host, you have on the line, you know, another celebrity, the former heavyweight champion, Layman Brewster.
Hello, everybody. How y'all doing?
I'm
doing fine.
We are in a wonderful conversation right now.
Yeah, no, I was listening. I'm so glad that I got to call in early enough to kind of hear the flow of the conversation because, as the general would tell you, that's up my alley because I don't know about you guys, but I truly believe in the Bible. I believe in the Bible to the extent that I understand that the Bible was only written to one people, according to the Bible. We go to church our whole life, and we always being made to feel good. So every time you go to church, no matter how down you are, you hear something to make you feel good. And so, what the government done was something that was so slick that we didn't even realize. The government said, we're gonna give you these things called 501c3s. We're going to allow you to preach about anything you want to and not even and be able to collect all the money you want to as long as you don't say these certain things. Like we want you to go to this thing called seminary school so that we can make some money. And at the same time, we're going to let you make money afterwards because once you get that degree that says we okay with what you're going to say, we're going to give you this degree so you can go back to your community and just like the Pied Piper, you can make them follow in the direction that you want them to follow as long as you don't say certain things within this Bible. You got to remember when we was bought here, first of all, they took our names from us. So if I'm working for
yes,
you,
sir.
We're making you money. Would you care if my name was XYZ? No, you would not care.
Right.
But the fact is, if you get the slave records, the transatlantic slave records, which, yes, they are available, and you look at those names, you look at the translation of those names, 99.9% of every single African that was on that boat had a name that had name of God in it. Yah, Aisha.
Now,
so then we go to Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 68. He said, and by slave ship you will be sold. He said, you will sell to another land that is not yours and be sold unto a people for bondsmen and bondswomen, which means slavery. It means slaves, chattel slaves,
yes, sir.
And no man shall buy you, which said nobody's going to come and try to say, hey, I got the money for them. Let them come. No other country ever threatened to have war against this country because of slaves. So then we add up. We just keep going. Okay, well, what else does it say? It say that men was going to lay with your wives and you couldn't do nothing about it. Well, that happened in slavery. They said you was going to be, you said your children were going to be sold, and you couldn't do nothing but loan for them as they was taking them away to another city, another house, another state, another country.
Yes,
so everything about the Bible in Deuteronomy 28, 15 through 68 lines up perfectly with everything that the Negroes went through. And then if you want to take it further and say, okay, well, what is Negro versus African? Well, if you read the Zondervan Bible Dictionary that the Pope even acknowledges, if you look up the word Ham, it says Ham was a progenitor of the dark races. And it names everybody, but out of everybody it named, it says, but not the Negro. So then we say, well, how come every time Martin Luther King would go in March, or Malcolm X, mm-hmm. or Louis Farrakhan, or anybody would mm-hmm. try to take a stand for people. How come ain't no Africans ever came and went to jail with us? Why they never fought with
right.
us? How come they ain't never put no money up for us? So then we start with,
yes,
huh, sir. Hold on, let's go further. They don't live where we live. Well, y'all black, we black. How come when we protest, how come y'all don't protest with us? How come when they shooting all mm. you never hear about them shooting Africans, you only hear about them shooting niggas? So what's the difference between,
yes,
you and me? The difference is that
that's
you are not the chosen children of God according to Deuteronomy 28:15-68. You are not a part of the prophecy that he told Abraham in Genesis 15:13, that he told Abraham we was going to go into captivity for 400 years. 400 years, well, now he's starting to wake up. And this is where,
yes,
we
sir.
At right here today. And Trump even signed a paper last year that said, you know, we are going to acknowledge that we had slaves, and it started in 1619, according to,
yes,
what
sir.
The Bible says, 400 years. So,
mm-hmm.
so when you talk about us standing together, first of all, you got to know who you are and where you're from. They think we just from,
that's
Africa.
Right.
We are not from Africa. We are from North Africa, which they changed the name in 1902 to try to throw us off the path because,
right,
we started to read. They changed,
right,
it to Middle East, and then they let all those Arabs
mm-hmm.
in. But if you go talk,
okay,
to any,
right,
Arab, they all tell you they all they all know who the children of Israel are, and we ain't nothing but the people that fit the prophecies of it. So we're standing here today,
yeah,
having a conversation because the change that has been put on us because of our disobedience in the wilderness when Moses was leading us out, that curse is being lifted. So now he said, I'm going to turn back those curses on your enemies. So now they're suffering heroin loss, methamphetamine.
Mm-hmm.
They committing
mm-hmm.
suicide at high rates.
Yes, sir.
They're going into schools, killing their own people. They're going to concerts, killing their own people. Because everything that the Bible said, prophesied, is coming back on them now.
Right.
Whoop, whoop.
Exactly. You see? Okay, so we're going to turn it back over there. And thank you so very, very much, Champ, on that input. Okay, now what does our guest host have to say about that?
Well, you know, I read the Bible as well. And, you know, I can appreciate, you know, what he's saying with regard to, you know, his, you know, the way he's seeing it as it maps out in the Bible and all. But what we know for sure is that, you know, Europeans put Africans, sub-Saharan Africans, on slave ships. That's what we know for sure. So
uh-huh.
if you look at the map, you know, Ghana is right just above the equator, which is well
okay.
south of, you know, what we know today as Egypt, you know, North Africa, and
okay.
that sort of thing. So I'm not going to dispute anything that he had to say or anything like that. But what I am going to say is this. What we know for sure is being here in America and you have a conversation with someone and they say, oh, where are your people from? He's like, oh, my people from Chicago. Well, no. What country did you come from? Because everybody that's here is from somewhere else, unless, of course, you're Apache or Arapaho or, you know, Navajo or one of those, right?
Gotcha.
Somebody
mm-hmm.
from somewhere else. And we always come with, well, I don't know, because, you know, my people came here on a slave ship. So
gotcha.
So I'm not really sure. So all of that to me, you know, and you guys, you know, have your own feeling about this. And I think, you know, a large part of our community has this sort of feeling of, you know, like we don't belong. You know what I mean? Like we
yeah.
feel completely disconnected, completely displaced. You know, trying to figure out, you know, who we are, what we're about. And
well,
I just, you know, know
the
people from different cultures. And I know people from different cultures. All they want to do is go home. I know a lot of Italian
that's
people.
True.
All they want to do is go
that's
to Italy.
True.
Okay. And,
that's
and we don't
true.
Know
mm-hmm.
where to go. It's like, where do we go? You know, and oftentimes when you talk about these types of trips, people get caught up on the money because guess what? They ain't got flights
what?
Going there, going to, you know, Accra, Ghana, every 5 minutes,
right.
Like they got them going to London or Paris or places like
I
that.
Got
so,
you. Okay.
You know, it's a little bit expensive, you know what I mean?
That's
so,
that engineering shit also.
But, you know, at the same time, I'm the kind of person, personally, I'm not going to let somebody else dictate what my life is going to be like. I don't give a damn what kind of restraint
right.
you got. You're not going to restrain me, straight up, point
what
blank.
What they doing. You hit it right on the
that's
head.
Just not gonna
that's
happen.
What they doing.
I'm gonna find, but that's not what they doing, because I'm going
to
find
to
a
the
way
majority.
Around that.
They doing that to the majority.
Yeah, but
I mean,
the
you
thing,
said
though,
you said
the,
it yourself.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, though, Ms. DeMacy. In my mind, personally, if I believe that that's the case, guess what? I'll never get anywhere. I have to believe that
well,
I can change
I know that.
That.
That's so true.
You know what I'm saying?
That is so true. Yes, I do.
So,
I certainly
and I think
do.
Something
a
trip
people...
like this can give people the kind of confidence that you don't have
that's
just
right.
by not
that's
knowing
right.
where you come from.
That's right. That's right. But what
so
I'm saying is a lot of people have closed minds because of what this country is all about. They have closed minds. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you're right, girl.
Oh, well,
so
yeah. You're right
mind.
About that.
Yeah,
well, see,
that,
but that's
mind.
Just it, though. But you see, but here, you know, when we came to these shores here, is that the slaves only knew what the slave master had taught them is because I recall myself when I was traveling in the western United States and I was going through Montana and I was passing a place of the Little Bighorn and I stopped in the rest area. And so I engaged a woman, you know, who was of the Cheyenne. And, you know, she gave me a history lesson about why they wiped out Custard is because they had went through the Trail of Tears situation. And when they settled in there at the Little Bighorn, you know, it's on a Crow Indian reservation, as they call
right.
it. And they said that we are tired and, you know, and keep in mind, in 1876, you know, you didn't have the microwaves, you didn't have the televisions and whatnot.
Right.
And as she explained to me is that the people were mad, you know, Crazy Horse, Chief Sitting Bull, you know, at the white man, you know, for killing them off and what have you. And they said, well, when he comes out here this time, you see, is that we're going to send him a message. And, of course, we all know what happened with Custer's last stand. And then as the heavyweight champion had just said right there, is that when you have knowledge of yourself, okay, see, you're an unstoppable force. As what our guest host is emphasizing right here on the journey to Ghana homecoming 2019. And 2019, you know, as she stated in her opening comments, was, you know, marking the 400 years of what you were brought in chains. And then as the heavyweight champion has stated, you know, from scriptures that your people will dwell in a land for 400 years that is not theirs. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know, look at us. And then, of course, then you have all of those of the self-hatred that goes on. And just like what our guest host was saying is, it's the power of the reconnection, you know, with the ancestors. You see the power of reconnection, you know, to your past period and gaining knowledge, you see, and spreading knowledge.
Gotcha.
Okay, now let me ask you this here, champ. What do you got to say about all that?
Hey, man, I first want to say that I think that everybody should know that the Indians are a part of the 12 tribes of Israel. One of the giveaways is that they actually wear fringes on their body, and the Bible says to wear fringes. That's one of the things that God told us to do. And if you look at the hieroglyphs in Egypt, when you see the Hebrew slaves, what were they wearing? They all were wearing fringes. And so I think we see, so, you know, education is basically, it's a board of people to sit around which say what matter is supposed to be each and every year. And you understand that we have a power that was given to us, that he said if we keep his law, statutes, and commandments, he said, there am I. But everybody we've all been taught by a preacher a whole different thing than what the Bible
we've been told, don't get me wrong, Christ died so that we could repent directly to God, because before Christ died, you have to take a calf or something, an unblemished lamb, and take that to a high priest. You take it to the high priest, then the high priest would take it to the altar. So, you know, I don't think she's y'all anymore. But if you go back in the Bible, God said he made a new covenant. If you read all of Hebrews 8 and 1, the point I'm trying to make, man, is that we have been taught that Indians, we've been giving them different names, like the Cubans. There are a whole lot of black people. We're all Negro. We're all of the same E1B1A hapo blood type. But we've been taught by the media, he's Indian, he's Negro, he's this, he's that. Just going by different countries, by Puerto Ricans. I mean, all these are different tribes of Israel. It was just a boat stop. But the point I'm trying to make, man, is that we are all the same people that have been divided. And if we understand that we are all one nation, then we automatically can now start making decisions to vote as a people, to spend our money in the areas that we should, to support certain companies. Because if all companies only bought from our people, just like the rich do, you know, they don't go to the black stores and buy things. They use their power. They stay in power because they always support one another. But we as a people, because we're so divided, we won't never support one another. We'll be like crabs in a barrel. But when we can all come to the understanding that the one that won the war just to make the rules. He taught us, you are Cuban, you are Puerto Rican, you are Negro, you know, you are Jamaican. But if we all understand we're all one people, do you understand the power that gives us?
That's the whole point. And that's the whole point of taking this trip. That's the whole point of taking this trip.
That's right.
Okay, but Champ, but just like in your profession there, Champ, you know, as Minister Malcolm had said many, many years ago, he held up his hand and he says, well, you know, you got these 5 digits, you know what I'm saying? And if you slap somebody, it'll sting you. But if you want to put somebody in a place, you just simply bring these digits together. You see what I mean? And he brought together the fifth, you know. And then it's also, too, very, very interesting, too, and this is stuff that I lived through in my lifetime, so I'm not talking about, you know, what I'm guessing or whatnot. I'm talking about from actual experience, and I do remember as a child, and I'm sure our guest host, you know, could relate to this here as well, too, is that when you had the black empowerment movement going on in the United States, you had the civil rights movement with Dr. King, with Rosa Parks, Ralph Abernathy, Elisha Cummings, Y.T. Walker, and what have you. But you also had, you know, in the late 1960s, the Black Empowerment era, and of course we do know about the crew that is out of the City by the Bay, where they had over 50 chapters throughout the United States, in Washington, D.C., Seattle, Washington, New Orleans, Louisiana, then of course Chicago, Illinois, and then of course we all do know about Tupac's auntie, as a matter of fact, she was the one who does our intro for our show, Revolution is Love, you see? And this is why I definitely appreciate our guest host and the former heavyweight champ of coming on tonight, dropping knowledge, reconnecting with our ancestral past. And then what will happen is when our youth sees this is that they will carry this on down to generation after generation. And then, as we have always stated here on Shabaka's Black Experience, and hence we deal with the Black Experience of from the beginning of the time to 10 minutes ago, and we are definitely about the cooperative economics. We are definitely about reinvesting in ourselves. And then, as our guest host has said, it's very, very important to make the reconnection is because, just like she says, I see it in California all the time. You know, you see Asian Americans. Oh, no, I'm not an American. You know, I'm Chinese. I'm Thai. I'm Filipino. They say they're very, very proud of their culture and their heritage of where they come from. The same thing, you know, as we know about the people that come up there out of Europe. Well, you know, I'm a British American, you know, I'm a German American and what have you, you see. So they're identifying with the point of origin, although that Africa is a continent, and if you really look at it, it is the biggest continent on the world. And then as Dr. Ashway Kwesi, I believe, had stated, is that when you go up there to Egypt or Kemet or whatever they call it, and you got the Great Pyramid right there, it sits dead center of the Earth's land mass. And then not to mention the fact, if you take the base of the Great Pyramid and multiply it by the height, it will give you the exact distance from the Earth to the sun. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
You see, and this is the type of knowledge, you know, that they do not want us to have in Babylon right here, or this place, Sodom and Gomorrah, called the United States, is because look at who you currently got as the head of state right here. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And me personally, I'm of the opinion is that they did something to kill our episode on our usual time at 6 p.m. this evening, is because we certainly was going to talk about him and his hypocrisy and the redundancy of it as well, too. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're down to our last 5 minutes. Okay, we're going to give everybody, you know, a few minutes to make a closing comment. And we're going to start off here with our featured commentator, the one and only Ms. DeMacy. And then we're going to take it to our guest host. Then we're going to take it to the heavyweight champ. And then we're going to take it to Brother Isaiah. And I'll make my closing comment. Okay, Ms. DeMacy, what do you say? You need a closing comment?
Well, what I want to say is thank you all so much. The show was just perfect. It was dynamic, and it, like, really, it brought some things out of me, you know, that was hovering. So I just want to thank everyone for
yes,
the interaction
ma'am.
This evening.
Okay, very good. Okay. And then also, too, we're going to take it there, you know, to our future commentator, Brother Isaiah. Okay, Brother Isaiah, what do you got to say about all this here in your closing comments this evening?
All I got to say is I love this show. I'm glad I'm so part of this show. And I love everybody's input tonight. Like,
yeah.
Each one teach one, and we all we got. So we got to do more
yes,
of
sir.
Teaching. We got to do more research. We got to, you know, build up. We got to save up so we can reconnect. So we can
yes,
build, start building. We got to build our
absolutely.
Own respect. So
light on.
Much
yes,
love
sir.
To y'all.
Thank you, brother. Okay. And we appreciate you there, Brother Isaiah, and we always appreciate your input. Okay, champ. Okay. Well, what are your closing comments tonight on tonight's show on Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced that's coming to you from Olympia, Washington tonight? And we appreciate you calling in.
Oh, my pleasure, brother. I just want to lead you guys with this scripture from the Bible, Isaiah chapter 29. Verse 10, King James Version, for the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep and hath closed your eyes, the prophets and your rulers, the seers hath he covered. And the reason why our people has never had a leader for the whole 400 years we've been in captivity is because God has put us under a 400-year curse that said, until you guys come back to keep my law, statutes, and commandments, I'm going to continue to keep these curses on you. But the end of a curse is about up, and he said he's going to correct us in measure. All praises to the Most High. Thank you for having me.
Okay, and thank you, champ, you know, for participating, man. And please call in, man, on a regular basis if you can, is because, you know, we do our show every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Pacific, and we definitely appreciate you of coming in, you know, on the special edition. And I'm going to make my closing comments, and then I'm going to turn it over there to our guest host. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say this here, is that we had a podcast previously scheduled this evening at 6 p.m. Pacific, music. And I don't know what manipulation that happened, you know, with the algorithms or with the powers that be, that show was skewed. But however, we're going to definitely reproduce it once again and get it back up there. And everybody's always welcome to give us a call in at 646-562-9630. And most definitely check our Facebook like page. Repeat, our Facebook like page of Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. And this is where we put up all our presentations that are coming up, and also to look at some of our past episodes. And definitely get with us if you need any advertisement, you know, for any of your products, your services, and or any community events that you got going on, you know, to get us back reconnected. Okay, so we're going to turn it over here to our guest host and listen to her closing comments, and then we're going to sign off. Okay, our guest host, what are your closing comments?
Well, first off, I want to say thank you for having me back on the show for part two. I mean, we didn't really get into what folks can expect on this trip, so I'll just get into it real briefly here. So this is a 10-day trip, 2 days travel, so 1 day to get there and 1 day to get back. But we started in Accra, which is A-C-C-R-A. I say Accra, but it's actually pronounced Accra. And visit, you know, Kwame Nkrumah's National Park, visit W.E.B. Du Bois' Pan-Africanist Center. If you guys didn't know this, and I found this out during the research for this trip, that actually Ghana is like the Milan of the African fashion world there in Africa, in the continent, and also a music capital for, you know, world music and jazz, hip-hop. You know, so of course we have to engage in that, right? Because what we find out when we go, when we do these ancestral trips, wherever your ancestry is, and you grew up and raised here in the United States and never made that trip back home, quote unquote, you find out why we relate to each other, why we have the call and response, why, you know, we always got to dance everywhere we go. You know what I'm saying? So we'll be able to experience that there. And then we'll go on to Kumasi, which is the home of the Ashanti kingdom, and be able to experience up there, you know, wood carving, you know, all these, they call it, you know, arts and crafts, but it's more than arts and crafts, it's fine art, okay, and wood carving and fabric making and that sort of stuff, so you be able to get to engage in that in Kumasi. And then we move on to you know, over the Cape Coast, where, you know, the slave holds were, also have the name ceremony, so you can get your name that you would have had we not been brought here, and engage with other African people, other Ghanaian people, you know, because our guys are all Ghanaian, you know. I mean, I made that kind of like clear, like, okay, we want black guys, we don't want British guys, we want black guys. And even during the trip, some of the stops on here was like, oh, this is a colonial town, you know, this, that. And I said, you know, no disrespect, but we're interested in seeing the African history, not the colonial history. So
that's right.
So that's what, you know, made sure we had that. And then, you know, we culminate the trip in, you know, with some you know, see some live music, you know, so it's modern and historical. We're doing both parts of it. It was modern day, you know, Ghana and historical Ghana with regard to our ancestry, to make that connection from back, like your boy, you know, Layman said, you know, just 400 years ago, and now, you know, today, what's going on there. And then we culminate in the naming ceremony, you know, jazz and that. You know, a nice dinner and a sort of like a farewell dinner, and the next day, you know, come back home. But we also, you know, do some of the we call natural things, like they have this canopy, right, where you like to walk across the treetop on this suspended bridge. Now, I don't know if I'm down with that because I've got a fear of heights.
Now, but
it's like 150 feet above what they call the forest floor. So I don't know if I'm down with that, but it is available. You know, willing to take that and then, you know, come on back home. The trip, you know, the staging area is from New York, so we all go to New York and then fly on to Accra. And then, you know, interior go to different sites. Also, one of the things is to interact with the school. So one of the big things that happens with these groups when they go to Africa, to different African nations, is that they use the money to build their infrastructure, to build, you know, their school systems,
okay,
to make sure kids are getting educated, you know, getting the materials that they need to have, you know,
right,
materials, school materials, clothes, and that sort of thing. So that's a big thing. So you get to be able to interact. And another part of this is, you know, like you, this show talks about all the time, is economic independence is often opportunities for black people here from the, you know, that were born here in the United States to connect with those in Ghana and the rest of, you know, other parts of Africa from an economic standpoint, you know, and
okay,
business,
right,
over there and that sort of stuff. So there's
how
that, you know, opportunity as well. Yeah, so it's a pretty epic experience. And, you know, and this year it's like, okay, you got to go. You know, you have to go because this marks that 400 years of, the first slave ships leaving the west coast of Africa. And to make that transition back, you know, as a free person and a free thinking person, you know, is pretty phenomenal. So I hope, you know, your guests will take the trip if you're interested to go on the trip.
How
or want more information. The trip, the total cost is $4,595. That includes round trip airfare from New York to Accra.
Uh-huh.
Includes two meals a day, breakfast and dinner. Includes all ground transportation, all activities, and you know, entrance fees to anything that's going on. So it's all inclusive. You know, the only thing that you would be paying for in addition, you know, I mean, let's just keep it real. Okay, we live in the United States now, and it's like, okay, I wanted a spa treatment, I want a massage, I want to, you know. So that stuff like that, you have to pay for yourself if you want to get some authentic souvenirs and stuff like that. And beyond souvenirs, like I say, this is fine art. This isn't just, you know, chastity stuff. This is like fine arts and stuff. You know, of course, you have to pay for all of that stuff on your own as well. Both times you have to pay for lunch. There are some lunches included, but every day is breakfast and dinner. So, you know, so all your basic stuff is taken care of with that one low price. To go on the trip, you need to make a deposit, a minimum deposit. Yeah, that's room and board. That's hotel, air, ground transportation, entrance fees to everything, most meals, and all the different ceremonies and stuff like that. And a minimum deposit to participate on this trip is $400. That would need to be paid by January 31st. You can get your registration form at www.exotictravelarchitects.com/tours. Click on the Journey to Ghana tab, and all the instructions are there. You can print the form, fill it out, you know, scan it and email it to me at gail@exotictravelarchitects.com. Once again, that's www.exotictravelarchitects.com/tours. You can also call me on my business number at area code 323-407-8130. If you know, have additional comments or whatever. And that's based on that $45.95 is based on double occupancy, meaning that you have a roommate.
Oh.
If you want to do a solo trip, you know, where you want your own room, there's an additional $795 for the entire trip. And if you're coming like me, coming from the L.A. area, going there, you know, you can get what they call add-on fare versus buying a ticket on your own. You can do the add-on. It's less expensive for you than to buy it on your own, you know, for you to get to New York. So that's everything in a nutshell. So, you know, don't allow a few dollars to stop you from making this epic journey. Because trust, if you were something else, if Oprah Winfrey, you know, or somebody that you respected, you know, was selling a Santa Barbara home, those in the L.A. area know this, selling a Santa Barbara home is worth millions for $4,500 and said, hey, you got $400 and it's yours, you would do it. Okay? So take advantage of this opportunity. Again, I'm at www.exotictravelarchitects.com/tours. So you can definitely be a part of this journey and make that homecoming 2019.
Be on the inaugural trip.
Yeah. So you can come home and impact your community. Like you talked about, DeMacy, be able to come home and like, hey, you know what? Because a lot of times we don't invest in each other because we don't trust each other. Now, you know, DeMacy, I know, girl, you're gonna do this beauty salon, and here's, you know, my $500 to help you get that beauty salon going.
I know that's right, boo. That's what we need.
You
to
know
do.
What I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Instead of, like you say, having to depend on others and all that. Because we're really, like, the only group in the United, that I know of in the United States, you know, quote-unquote non-white group, that doesn't really support each other like that. And those
you don't even
know about it. Like, Snoop Dogg's serious philanthropist. You know,
exactly.
Like I said earlier, boys giving away millions of dollars a year. Prince used to drop hundreds of thousands of dollars on people just out of the blue anonymously. People didn't even know about it.
Wow.
So why not help you with your stuff or your dream or whatever it is that you're trying to do? We can help each other, but it starts with a feeling, a sense of self, as you know, our host, you know, Shabaka Sakare has said, you know, not feeling connected with who you are, you know, just kind of like leaves you wanting and trying to figure out, you know, it's like you got a plug and trying to figure out some socket to plug it into. You know what I mean?
True that. And also, not contributing to your people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Not
right.
being involved with your people is standoffish as well. That's not helping. I mean, you're not getting any motivation from anything if you're just concerned with yourself.
Yep.
We need to get out there and stick together and travel and be with one another. On some elevation, as opposed to just walking past people on the street. Hey, how you doing? And, you know, and keeping it moving. What are you getting from that? Nothing. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
When you stick together with your people and you do these great things with each other, we grow together. Do you understand where I'm coming from?
We
grow together. We grow strong as a people. We connect with each other. On a basis like that, nothing can stop us. Nothing. Long as we stick together. So let's remember that. Let's remember to
Absolutely.
Lift each other. That's right. To have a side, I mean, it's that time. Period.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel about it. So, with that said, I might look into that. I really might
Absolutely.
Look into that. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing, being
mm-hmm.
with your people. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Okay, I hate to interrupt, okay, but we got to sign off now because we're in overtime. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, our air date for tonight was January 15th, 2019. We definitely appreciate our guest host, the principal of Exotic Travels Architects. We definitely appreciate all our featured commentators calling in, Brother Isaiah, Ms. DeMacy, and what have you. And we definitely appreciate the former heavyweight champion for his input on the knowledge that he's dropped. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're signing off. Tonight, and we're going to play the classic by the one and only Mr. Wes Montgomery of Bumpin' on Sunset.
Ooh.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Mm-hmm.